The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. It's me, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, buddy. Joining me this week, Taylor.
Hello.
We love having Taylor in studio. And then joining us from Phoenix, enemy territory.
Oh.
Phoenix, Arizona, not Dumbledore's bird. I'm so glad you laughed at that because that was really stupid and I feel bad about saying it out loud. It's Paul Michael. Paul's Hello. A stand-up down in Phoenix. Taylor says it's very funny. How do you guys know each other?
We met a few months ago at that scooter rally I was telling you about up
scooter
in
rally.
Ogden. We have the same scooter. Same model. His is prettier, but
mine's blue and hers is pink.
Yeah, but I got to meet him, and we hung out like all weekend. It was awesome.
And one of the fun things today is you have a dog named Goose.
I do.
And I have Zealand and Pizza.
I have actually never remembered what that dog's name is, but you told me the first time I met it. And I'm like, I can't do it now. I can't ask again.
Little Zealand?
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
He doesn't have feelings like that. He doesn't speak English.
Okay.
Yeah. He speaks Spanish. He's a Chihuahua.
Okay.
Hola, mi amigo.
Oh, my God.
¿Cómo estás?
This is the dumbest thing.
Riff, riff. So we were talking about stuff. We just had Thanksgiving. So I was at the store and we have this customer that comes in. He's a Native American guy, big guy about my size. And he's very gruff, never ever smiles, you know. And I have this thing where when you're a grumpy customer, my job is to make you laugh. And it is one of the douchier things I do, but I do it anyway because it makes me happy.
I would leave the store.
I'm not that bad.
I would leave it.
I don't like walk around throwing punchlines at people or telling dad jokes. I just want people to come in and know that they're in a place where they can smile. And anyway, I've given up on this guy. He's the only customer I have ever given up on, trying to make him smile, trying to make him laugh. So I'm talking to somebody else over on the side. And they're like, ooh, you got big plans for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving. He's like, why not? I'm like, all it is a marked celebration of a mass genocide by white people. And I hear across the store, I hear, ha, that's true. And I look over and it's my grumpy Native American guy. And he's got a big smile on his face. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I made him laugh. I have a thing. The next 45 minutes he was there, he was telling jokes with me, he was smiling, he was this and that and the other. And just because I happened to be aware of white privilege out loud in a store full of people. And he was just like, you know, you're pretty cool. And I'm like, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Can't remember his name. I think it was Otis.
That sounds fake.
No, that was it. I'm pretty sure that's it. I'll double check.
So I guess the audience you were supposed to go for, Paul, was the indigenous people, and they would have laughed.
I know. I don't know if the Tempe Improv is like the bastion of Native American culture. You know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So you did, because that's what you were talking. I mean, we're out of context now, but you told a joke not unlike that.
Yeah.
And received a crowd full of gasps.
I did. It was not the response I had hoped for, but I like to be political and edgy and kind of point that stuff out in my comedy because, like, you know, my heroes are like Bill Hicks and Carlin and like those guys. Those are the guys that I like in comedy.
Yes.
And so I try to be, I don't know, follow those. Like, those are huge ass footsteps to follow. But
So not a, not a big Matt Rife fan.
Not so much. No.
That dude just sucks.
I saw his special on Netflix. Well, I saw the first 8 minutes of it and was like, wow. I've seen him do crowd work on TikTok, and his crowd work makes me laugh from time to time.
Right.
But yeah, his just straight up stand up. I was like, okay. I'd get more out of a George Lopez set. And I don't think George Lopez is funny at all.
Yeah.
Until he was in Blue Beetle. And then I fucking love the guy again. I don't know.
He just recycled jokes from like every other comedian.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're switching from CrossFit and veganism to Crystal Girls. Like, okay. Yeah.
Is that it? Is Carlos Mencia going to pop up in this at all?
I fucking hate Carlos Mencia.
That was
exactly.
That was a little throwback to Stolen Jokes.
I was going to say that, but it's like, does anybody remember Carlos Mencia?
I only do because he got in trouble for stealing jokes. Huh. People were upset. And I was like, well, he wasn't that funny to begin with, so no wonder he was stealing other people's jokes.
He should have stole better jokes.
He did. I think he stole them from Joe Rogan.
Like, if you're going to steal jokes, you should steal the good ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do if you steal Joe Rogan jokes? Just talk about vitamins and being a meathead?
Well, I mean, like, his old comedy was really funny.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, okay. Mm. Okay.
So let's get to some news, shall we?
Okay.
We'll do a little bit of news. And then we'll touch base with maybe some dates you got coming up or where to find you on social media and in the B block. But
sounds good.
One of the nice things about Jack Smith being a prosecutor against Donald Trump is how much information Jack Smith seems to be able to coerce from people that claim to hate his ass. And what's happened is that Twitter has handed over 32 direct messages from Donald Trump's account with the social media platform to special counsel Jack Smith as part of his election subversion probe. The former president is a voracious user of real Donald Trump as he tried to overturn Joe Biden's 2020 election victory, but was suspended by the platform, formerly known as Twitter, in the wake of the January 6th attack, quote, due to the risk of further incitement of violence, end quote. Now, Elon Musk, when he took over, he unbanned Trump, but Trump had a deal in place with Truth Social that doesn't end until, I believe, the end of this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then he'll probably go back to Twitter. But, I mean, Twitter's no longer Twitter. Twitter's just this garbage hellscape, you know.
But it's funny because I feel like the masses, like the public, just like refuses to acknowledge it's called X now. Like everybody just, like even the article says Twitter gives special counsel Jack Smith. Like that's the headline. Like people are like, yeah, nah, it's not X. It's Twitter.
Yeah. My ex did what now?
It's like the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah.
Except for we just go straight Twitter.
I don't know how to pronounce that little symbol he had, that little onk. Do you call him onk? How do you verbally communicate with the artist formerly known as Prince?
Through psychic mediums. Because he's dead.
Yeah.
I ever tell you about the time I met Prince?
Ouija board.
A Ouija board. Yeah.
There you go. Absolutely. A medium.
That symbol's not on the Ouija board, though. So.
It's going to be on mine. I'm going to draw it on there. Yeah, I met Prince once when I was in Minneapolis. I was at a hotel. I was installing coffee brewers in where their breakfast area was. And I was leaving for the day, and I had my two tool bags, and I was in a hurry because I was late for something. I can't remember what. And I come bopping around a corner, and peripherally I notice these two big dudes in suits kind of as I go past them. And then there's a tiny little person right in front of me, and I'm going fast enough I can't stop. So I drop my tool bags, and I kind of wrap my arms around the little person. I take two more steps, and I set him down, and was about to apologize, and instead out of my fucking mouth goes, "Holy shit, you're Prince." And, and he's all, "Yeah." And I'm like,
"You bear hugged Prince?"
Picked him up and carried him 4 feet. And anyway, and I set him down. I was just like, I'm a huge fan. And he's all, thanks. And then all of a sudden, the two big dudes are back, and he kind of gives them a little look, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll get out of your way. And I picked up my tool bags, and I stepped out of the way, and they all kept fucking walking. And then I got out to my van, and I sat down, and I was just like, holy shit, I just touched Prince. He's tiny. He was so little.
I understand that he is tiny. He's tiny compared to me, but you are a giant. Paul is a giant. So, of course, he's going to be a... You're very tall. But of course, he's gonna be a little guy.
He's
a little guy.
Such a little guy.
Put him in your pocket.
I did that. So you remember? Go ahead.
When you said you were a huge fan, you were like being literal.
I am now.
You are a huge fan.
Yep. I am now. That was my last argument with my little Google machine at work. I was trying to play a Prince album, and she wouldn't do it. She just kept playing Purple Rain, the song, over and over and over again, which was fine the first two times. But after that, I had a little Nicky. You know what I mean?
Do you know what happened the other day?
What's that?
Grace and I went to Broovies to go see a movie, mm-hmm. and the bartender, like, they have touch tunes. I love going to bars that have touch tunes. I like to play my own music and enjoy a beer. But the bartender was a fucking asshole who ignored us the whole time and was a dick when he, like, I'm like, can we just order?
Rude.
And so... before the movie, I played Meatloaf, I'll Do Anything for Love, that 12-minute song.
I love that song.
I played it before we went into the movie. I played it when the movie started. I played it during the movie. And I played it when I left.
Is that the one where you pick on your phone when songs come?
Mm-hmm. So I just played it over and over until I left, because fuck that guy.
And you don't have to be at the place.
Nope. I could be sitting
out. You can just randomly play some song at some bar.
Yep.
Wherever.
You should call. If you remember his name, you should call and see if he's working and do it again and again and again.
I know, and I live so close that I could just sit in my car. I like to also make an entrance sometimes where I'll play like a song I want to listen to before I go in the bar so they don't know it's me. And I can just be like, oh.
Mine would be the theme to Sesame Street. You know?
They'd have to have it.
And you have to just walk in. Can't you tell me how to... Hey, everybody! It's me!
I don't want anybody to know it's me.
Oh. Because I did. We did that at a bar that I didn't much care for because everybody was an asshole. This was a couple years back. And I just played fucking Alice's Restaurant 5 times.
Yep. That's a good one.
I figured that was punishment enough. So.
Anyway, back to news.
Details of the messages which were obtained with a search warrant were included in a brief that was filed under seal in May to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C. Twitter appealed the judge's sanctioning of Elon Musk's company for its delay in handling the messages to prosecutors because the company didn't want to, because Elon Musk is a fucking fascist. Or, well, more like a fascist fanboy. Right?
Yeah.
That's just what he is. He sees fascists and he's like, I want to taste the dick.
I don't know how to be, but I'll be adjacent.
Portugal, this is basically what we're talking about. The A block is good news. Mm-hmm. So Portugal ran for 100% renewables for 6 days in a row. It could be more now because I got this a few days ago, dropping consumer electric bills to nearly zero for a week. Sunny, windy, wavy, and small. Portugal is uniquely suited to a renewable energy, which it just proved by powering the nation of 10 million entirely with the forces of nature for 6 straight days. It all started on Friday, the 27th of October, when the largest energy company in the nation reported the conditions of wind and waves were generating the entirety of the nation's energy supply. They predicted the conditions would carry on through Saturday, but actually kept on going for the next 5 days. Including some periods when the nation's grid was exporting renewable electricity to the grids in Spain. That's fucking awesome. Now, I take exception to one thing in the beginning of this. Wind, solar, geothermal, the ones they do in the water, the wavy ones. That basically as the tide comes in and out.
Hydroelectric.
Yeah, hydroelectric.
Paul knew that, I didn't.
Right. But it's also hydroelectric when it's on a dam, right?
Right.
And that one just turns a gear, whereas the wavy ones pump up and down. he said, realizing what he said out loud while I'm still making the goddamn hand motion. I'm sorry. And, you know, it can work anywhere. You know, Utah gets enough sun every year that we can run solar. And what do we have? We have chunks of the West Desert that nobody ever goes to because it's boring as fuck. You could put a nice solar farm. I don't. It's this thing where it just said it's uniquely suited to renewable energy. No, everywhere is. If you treat every city, town, commonwealth as its own little thing, we can build these up. It's not that fucking hard. Fuck. Spanish Fork, Utah has fucking windmills, for Christ's sake.
Those cause cancer.
They don't. They kill ducks.
I heard it.
No, they kill whales.
I heard it.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
The whales that sail with the wind.
Yeah. my favorite Trump fuck up was there was a problem in the country of Wales where a windmill blew up. Sometimes they light on fire. Shit happens. Guess what? So do refineries.
Right.
And he's just like, yep, the whales. Those windmills are killing the whales. All these whales just dying because of windmills. And nobody in the big news called him on it.
But whales as in like Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck, right?
Yeah,
like,
as in Wrexham football.
Like Wrexham football, yeah. Okay.
Long, impossible names in a weird-ass language.
Lots of Y's.
Yeah, it's left England. Yeah. Left. I think in the best news of the week, Derek Chauvin got stabbed a whole bunch in prison in Arizona.
I have a lot to say about this one.
On Black Friday.
Yeah.
Happy, what was it? Happy Shanksgiving?
Yes.
Yes.
We want to know all about this, Paul.
So like, when you sent me the stories that we were going to be talking about or whatever, I was just at a different scooter rally in Tucson, and one of my friends actually works at that prison, and she was talking about when he got admitted or whatever they call it, process to go into the prison, and like, I don't know, she had a lot to say. Like, I guess there were some of her coworkers that were like, oh, you know, if you were in that situation, you'd do the same thing. Like, he was doing his job, like the whole boys club thing with the prison guards, you know? And then I bet you can't guess which prison gang he gravitated towards. Anyway, so I'll leave that one at that. But I guess he, you know, he got like, I can't remember what his job was. He had his prison job, but it was like a job that like inmates that are there for like 2 years, 3 years don't get, or like will get after being good for a very long
time. You gotta earn it.
Yeah, he got it like within a week. I cannot remember what the job was though.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then
she told me about this
other guy. He was, because that's a federal penitentiary in Tucson, so it's all, you know, federal crimes. And she was like, there was a guy, another inmate there, and he was like from Maryland or somewhere that was not Arizona, and he wanted to like go back home, even though it's like prison in his home. So I don't know what that's why it matters. Maybe conjugal visits. I don't know. But but like he wanted to go back to Maryland or whatever. So he like publicly said, the minute Derek Chauvin shows up here, I'm going to kill him.
Oh.
And because of that, they had to, he got street cred with the black gangs in the prison. And then also they had to transfer him because they couldn't make national news about this guy who's going to kill Derek Chauvin. So like he got his wish. They were like, okay, transfer. And he's like,
okay,
sweet plan.
I guess it fucking worked.
Apparently somebody did want to kill him. So
I'm just saying, if you're going to stab Derek Chauvin and you want to go home, maybe they're taking him home to throw him a parade. Hey, look, you stabbed Chauvin.
I imagine, like, if he got one of those jobs, I'd want to kill him, too, if I had been there for, like, 3 or 4 years. And it's like, that little bitch
took my job.
He's the guy that gets to shovel the gravy on the lunch line. That was my gig. Stab, 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 stab.
I forgot what job it was. I wish I remembered, but yeah. She had some pretty gnarly stories about working in that penitentiary. Like, that's some crazy shit there. Like, you know, those are big time offenders that go in that place.
Let me tell you about, as we close out this block, one of the numerous reasons I love Joe Biden. The Biden administration, the FCC, is going to ban early termination fees for cable and satellite contracts. Basically, when Comcast or DirecTV, because there's only the two of them as far as I know, fuck you over and you go to cancel, they charge you a couple of hundred bucks to do it. Biden's FCC is like, no. Because one of the things that the Biden White House is working on is eliminating surplus fees from service contracts that you have with companies. And so they're making it illegal to charge us for this shit. And I'm just here for it. Because sooner or later, someday, I will move somewhere with fucking Google Fi and can get rid of fucking Comcast. And I do not want to pay $200 to do it. So
you don't have Google Wi-Fi yet?
No, they don't go to apartments very often. I need Google Fi so bad. You know, or Google Fiber. I have Google Fi on my phone. I run this on Google Fi.
Oh, goodness.
So anyway, I've disappointed Taylor. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to find out what that's all about. And we'll get back on the other side with news about the far right.
The government disappointed me.
Ah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. The apartment complex.
Oh, thanks.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show.
Hmm.
So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N media.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, German Shepherd that spoke German, and then buddies of my friends, their dogs, the families mainly spoke Spanish, and those dogs responded in Spanish. And so you would see the dog and go, "Hi, buddy," and the dog would look at you like, "What the fuck?" And you go, "Hola, amigo," and the dog would run over. And it makes sense.
No.
That, you know, dogs in France don't speak English.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just really what it is.
I had a Russian teacher in college. I took Russian and her dog spoke Russian. It was just a trip. It was like crazy. Нет, нет, да.
What the fuck, mate?
Yeah. And then when I spent time as an exchange student living in Finland for a year. And that was the first experience I ever had living in a different culture. And it was crazy because, like, yeah, my mind was blown about, like, dogs and kids. Like, seeing little kids speaking Finnish was like, I mean, it makes perfect sense. But, like, it happened. You're like, what the fuck?
Like, so you don't speak English? Where the fuck am I?
This kid speaks fluent Finnish. I can almost count infinite.
It's like when I went to Wales and like I went to the one like in the UK area, but they still spoke Welsh. They spoke English and Welsh. And I'm like, I thought there was a different one. Like, isn't that a different Wales that you were supposed to learn that? And I just sat there and I swear to God, they were just making fun of me the whole time.
Well, yeah.
Did you see any windmills explode?
No.
Did you see any whales in Wales?
No.
Committing suicide on the windmills?
Weird.
Yeah. Almost as though he doesn't know what Wales is. And yes, I said that correctly, unless you're Donald Trump, and then I used poor grammar, which he would also use.
Whales because are.
He thinks he knows what whales are. Right. I know what Wales is. That's where Ryan and Rob hang out.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Fucking love those guys.
That show's so good.
It makes me wish I liked gin. That's how much I like that fucking show.
I love that they're advertising American gin in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like,
and it's the stadium sponsor is Stoke, the iced coffee company.
Right.
You know, in the land of tea.
Yeah.
Just the whole goddamn thing with Americans owning a British soccer team in Wales. Just all of it cracks me up.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And yet, I don't know if you've watched the documentary.
Yeah.
Fuck, they'd get me every fucking week. Especially the women's team. They did the two specials on the women's team in season two. I was a weepy fucking mess over there. I'm just like, they're so fucking good. I can't believe how good they play. Oh, it's Rosie. You keep going, guys.
Oh, Rosie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they went undefeated the entire fucking season. And then, you know, they're playing on muddy grass. And then you got the guys who were doing really well that season. They did very, very well. You know, but they're playing in the fucking 200-year-old stadium, and they're on the perfect grass and all of this. And so they invited the girls for their big league championship game to play where the dudes play. And, they broke records. I'm a weepy mess thinking about it now. They did. More people went to see that game than had ever seen a women's soccer game in Wales. And it was great. Wonderful show. Got me hooked on soccer again.
And they do all the side stories, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Very little soccer, mostly people.
Yeah.
Brilliant show. So the opposite of brilliant.
Nice segue.
Mike Johnson, House Speaker, Republican, has been struggling to defend himself. Most recently at a private party. On Capitol Hill, where some House Republicans confronted their new leader, asking for any evidence he was leading them in a new direction or taking hits on their behalf. Just Google my name and you'll see, was Johnson's reply. He'd been besieged by unflattering media coverage since winning the gavel. That's true. Even been mocked on Saturday Night Live by not one, but two comedians. Johnson was fairly unknown. I mean, even Susan, what's her name from Maine, was like, I don't know. I'll have to Google him. You know, well, she probably uses Bing.
Ask Jeeves, Tim.
Yeah. She's over there. Fires up my Internet Explorer, you know, on her Windows XP machine. They're old and out of touch. That's what I'm getting for. Is anybody with me on this?
It's like he feels like the most picked on man, but like, what did McCarthy go through?
Oh, I know.
It's like, oh no, Mike, you're so hurt.
It's nuts. It's just absolutely nuts. But yeah, I don't think he's going to make it through the year. I think we'll go through two more speakers before the next election.
It's because he teamed up with the Democrats.
Again. It happens when you got to get shit done. Then we move to Wales, or to Dutch, the Dutch elections, not to Wales. What do I have on my mind?
Wales.
Well, I mean, what about their plight and they're being murdered by windmills, the Welsh?
I think that's the theme of this episode.
Yeah. So in the Dutch general election this last week, veteran anti-Islam populist leader Geert Wilders won a dramatic victory. After 25 years in parliament, his Freedom Party, the PVV, is set to win 37 seats, well ahead of the nearest rival, the Left Wing Alliance. The PVV can no longer be ignored, he said. Maybe I said that wrong. Let's see. The PVV will no longer be ignored. We will govern. His win has shaken the Dutch politics. Don't the Dutch remember fascism? I'm pretty sure you had some unwanted visitors for a while, Holland.
It happened. Yeah. Some tourists.
Yep. But to fulfill his pledge to be prime minister for everyone, he'll have to persuade other parties to join him in a coalition. The target 76 seats in the 150-seat parliament. At a party meeting on Thursday, Mr. Wilders, 60, was cheered and toasted by party members in a room crammed with TV cameras. He told, I'm doing floofa right now for some reason. I don't know why. He told the BBC that, of course, he was willing to negotiate and compromise with other parties to become prime minister. Of course he would. It'd be a great gig. Being the Dutch prime minister? What the fuck do you have to do? I mean, what is your job? You got to check out the wooden shoes. You got to make sure the tulips, it's tulips, right? You got to make sure the tulips are fine. Windmills? Check.
Whales?
No whales. That's in another country.
Shit.
Make sure your city isn't sinking.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Early sinking.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
With all the dikes. That's not a slur.
The sheer weight of dikes that they carry. So many dikes.
I don't know what a dike is.
It's a hand built dirt berm dam.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a dike. So the little boy blue who put his finger in the dike.
Right. In the dike. You don't
they
know
were
that
talking
story?
About a leaky dam.
I don't remember. I just remember little boy blue, and that's about it where I got with that.
Because you know a little boy blue would never be able to. So.
He put his finger in a dike.
Not so blue anymore.
Anyway, Wilders wants to hold a Nexit referendum to leave the EU, although he recognizes that there's absolutely no national mood to do so. He tempered his anti-Islam rhetoric in the run-up to the vote, saying there were more pressing issues at the moment, and he was prepared to, quote, put in the fridge, end quote, his policies on banning mosques and Islamic schools. Look, I'm an atheist. I think all religion's pretty silly. That's why I spend so much time pretending that Thor is real, because it gives me the giggles to bring it up when people ask me if I'm religious. And I'm like, you bet. Thor's my guy. You know, Odin is dad. This is how it works.
Loki for life.
Did you watch season 2?
So fucking
good.
Oh my God.
That ending?
So beautiful.
We'll talk about it.
I think I'm going through menopause because... I mean, again, weepy mess at the end of that.
Did you watch it, Paul?
I'm in the middle of it right now.
Yep. Okay.
So I have not finished it.
Just beautiful.
By the way, when you get to the end, you're still not going to know what the fuck you just watched. You're just going to understand the ending. The ending is the only part of the 6 episodes that made any fucking sense.
Yeah, basically.
Everything else is like, what? 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 God, Tom Hiddleston's handsome. What?
God, he's so handsome.
He really is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what do we got? Voter approved gun control in Oregon. Everybody was very happy about. They're all very excited. They're like, yay, we, the citizens of Oregon, have passed a thing. We voted to make a thing that we don't like go away. And then the court was like, yeah, no, it violates the state constitution. And everybody's like, wait, what? And people are upset. But. And I have to say this, and I say this with all the love and due respect in the world, even a voter referendum does not trump, the constitution of your state and or country. It just doesn't. You have to pass that in different ways with different rules, etc.
Isn't this why we can still have abortions in Utah up to like a certain, like a good amount
yeah.
of weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they wanted to make sure that in the Constitution it said that you can have as many members of a family as you want.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So if you don't want any?
Yep.
Yep.
It was. A part of it. Part of it was that the local legislature made a move to sort of curtail what Obamacare could do.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn worded it so stupid that a judge went, yeah, you guys are idiots. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun living in Utah. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got them much worse than I do most of the time.
Do you?
They had cyber ninjas.
What?
We did. Oh, yeah, yeah. We did have the cyber ninjas.
And you had, what was her name? Jan Brewer? You had Jan for a while. She was a fucking train wreck.
I met her a couple times. Yes, we had her. We had Arpaio. He was a real peach.
That was him. Old Joe. Joe, what I'm going to do is dress my prisoners in pink because it's emasculating.
Yep. I
can live in tents.
You what?
I have an autographed poster of Sheriff Joe. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make fun of him anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, we had I teach film class to high school, filmmaking. And so I had a kid. Well, a number of kids. It was like a group of like five or six of them quite a while back. And they did it was when we passed SB 1070, which was the law here about basically like if somebody looks like they're illegal, you can pull them over.
Oh,
it was essentially the law.
We talked about that.
Yeah. And my kids asked me like, what's this about? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know. You tell me. And they started researching it, and they did a whole documentary about specifically that law in Arizona and immigration. And we went down to Nogales and went over the border and talked to people and talked to activists and people who were undocumented. But we also talked to the other side. So I went to Sheriff Joe's office with my students and we interviewed him, and he gave me an autographed poster of himself. So,
I had to start keeping some of those around just for fun.
That's pretty nice of him to just have it handy. I'm really important. Here you go.
We cut the prison budget by putting them in tents behind concertina wire so I can afford these big flossy glossy posters.
Well, and all the tent city was mainly DUIs. It was almost all DUI people.
You know what? I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I had a drunk driver break my neck in 14 places in 1996, and I have been a fucking physical wreck ever since. Fuck it. Yeah, tent cities for all the DUI fuckers.
That's mostly who was there.
Okay.
Interesting.
I have not changed my mind on Joe, but I have a little bit on his stances on things. Boy, they really didn't hit that in the national news, did they? They're just like, putting prisoners in tents. I'm like, that's pretty fucked up considering how hot it gets out there. But DUIs? That's a special hell.
But what? Yeah.
It wasn't all DUI people, but a lot of them.
Huh.
It works for me. I like that. So Measure 114 has been tied up in state and federal court since it was narrowly approved by voters last year. State trials stemmed from a lawsuit filed by gun owners claiming that the law violated the right to bear arms under the Oregon Constitution. Defendants include Democratic Governor Tina Kotek, Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum, State's Police Superintendent Casey Codding. They can appeal to the Oregon Court of Appeals, and the case should ultimately go to the Oregon Supreme Court. Rosenblum plans to appeal the ruling, her office said in an emailed statement. The Harney County judge's ruling is wrong, the statement said. Worse, it needlessly puts Oregonians' lives at risk. The state will file an appeal, and we believe we will prevail. Which sounds like boilerplate language for what anybody would say when the court is an asshole, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. And it's tricky because it's dumb, you know. It's people that like the Second Amendment for the right to bear arms part, but really tend to gloss over, ignore, or pretend to misunderstand the regulated, you know,
and well regulated.
Yeah, the well regulated.
Yeah,
because right now it is pretty shitty regulated.
Yeah.
So a Baptist pastor who is also a Christian college president was forced to apologize for allowing a male speaker with long hair to talk to his congregation.
How dare he?
Pastor John Wilkerson of the First Baptist Church of Hammond in Indiana, who also serves as president of the Hiles.
That doesn't sound good.
Anderson College apologized to church members after he was criticized for allowing a man from a local creationist group to address the church and school while sporting hair they considered too long, and quoting scripture from the NIV, a translation of the Bible. He said, now recently, we had a creation seminar hosted here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. With all my heart, what I wanted to do is educate, equip, and empower God's people to face and to give ammunition for the fallacies of evolution and humanism that permeates our society. Though that was my goal, I grieve to tell you that I probably did not make the best decisions in many arenas. I thought they only did the one show. Did it fill an arena? I mean, that's a pretty big take for creationism. I failed to screen, you know, was it Dane Cook all over again? I failed to screen properly what was going to be said or shown in some ways, and I think I hurt many people. I grieve that I embarrassed the First Baptist Church family, he continued. I think for the Hiles Anderson College students and the men and women who have sent their students here, If I send an uncertain sound, I apologize and sincerely ask for your forgiveness. I do not want to cause a distraction, and I do not want to be divisive. I swear to God, all he's talking about is that one of the fucking guest speakers had long hair.
Is this like 1964? Like, those lads from Liverpool's hair is way too long. Like,
they do not show a picture of the dude's hair.
They don't?
The guy's name's David Liddy. He's one of the organization's presenters. And he called him a long-haired hippie who should not be at the pulpit teaching Christians.
Well, wasn't Jesus a long-haired guy?
You know what, though?
Long-haired hippie at that.
I'm going to throw you a little scripture. You ready?
Okay.
Sure.
A long-haired hippie teaching at the pulpit is in direct contradiction to scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, doth not even nature itself it teach you that if a man hath long hair, it is a shame unto him?
What?
Yeah, I looked it up. That's what it says.
But it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, because it's not part of the fucking Gospels.
Really do get to pick and choose what context they need,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, that's enough of that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get back on the other side. We're going to talk about the even further right.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Suzanne Shepherd, Peter Spellos, and Marty Croft.
Can't do a little, because he can't do enough.
Iman Vellani has a few opinions on the low box office for the Marvels.
I have a few opinions about it too, you guys.
In moving pictures, Jenna Ortega has left Scream 7. The BBC has shut down Top Gear. Who will play the next Lex Luthor?
I think it's my turn.
As long as you don't Eisenberg it, I'm happy.
I love bringing people together.
In comics, Vault Comics' Beyond Real got over 100,000 orders. Gotham Academy is returning. The 15th Doctor will make his first comic book day appearance on Free Comic Book Day.
Alan Z!
Review She-Hulk, Batman Off-World, The Holy Roller, Spider-Man India, Daredevil, and Somna. All that and a remake of The Killer, Face Front, True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere that podcasts are found.
Hey, did you guys hear about the kid that got kidnapped?
No.
Yeah,
no.
It's okay. He woke up. So you do stand up,
yes,
and you teach children how to use cameras
to do film, make create films. Yes,
okay, well, yeah, tomato, tomato.
Potato, tomato.
This is more than just using a camera, but yeah.
No. I was telling you in the break. My son did that in high school and is going to do it in college. He's in the middle of a gap year right now. And got a not quite an internship, but we have a local group here that does films with kids, and they put him on a year thing where he does three classes a week, got a scholarship to do it, so he doesn't have to pay for it, and that's what he does. And yet you teach this stuff, which means I have to go to a film festival once a year. You probably have to do it 4 or 5 times a year, including watching dailies and rushes and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do. But my kids are getting pretty good. Like, they actually, there's the All-American High School Film Festival. You might be familiar with it. It's in out of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, our school had, well, my students had, I think, 8 entries this year.
Oh, God damn. Wow.
And they were played at the AMC Theater in Times Square.
Badass.
So you're a very good teacher.
Or I have very good students. Yeah. Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Potato, tomato.
Yeah. But I started out in, like, I worked at the NBC affiliate here, so doing broadcasting stuff.
Sure.
And then I didn't like the hours very much. Yeah. And I didn't like working on holidays, and my parents are both teachers, and I had told them I would never be a teacher. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So I ended up teaching it. And then it's cool because in summer I can work on shows and work on stuff. And I run camera for part-time for the Diamondbacks here. And I'm a baseball fan, so that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also can work on shows in the summer. Like, I did a lot of, like, second assistant directing work. That's mostly what I do.
Yeah.
When I work on film projects. So, yeah. Yeah. And then I get to teach the kids too. So it's all right. And then try to make people laugh in my free time. So,
So you don't have that much free time because you're in a pinball league.
I do that with my free time too. I have a shit ton of free time, but I don't.
what is, I'm so sorry. I'm going to put a pin in that and come back to what the fuck is a pinball league? Do you guys play competitive pinball?
Yes, I do. And it's a big thing. It's a big thing nationwide. It's blowing up. Yeah. We have, we do Tuesday nights, a place called the Electric Bat Arcade. It's super cool, here in, Phoenix. And, Tuesday nights we have over 100 people.
Goddamn.
Competitive pinball. Yeah. Weekly.
And you're very good.
Well, compared to some of these people, I'm not very good, but I'm in the middle of the pack. I can play all right, but yeah, we have some players that are, like, top in, like, the world or top in the nation for sure. So they play at our league.
So yeah. Have you been playing pinball since you were young? A young man, say?
Since I was a small boy, I played. No,
there we go.
some who there
play so, the silver
I've
ball.
I've always liked arcade games and video games and pinball, but, like, I didn't really start playing competitively till about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago.
Do you remember the video game console? It was a Star Trek game where you had to go and defend star bases, and it was all done in, like, 3D stick rendering. It was all little lines.
Oh.
Kind of like no. Tank Command.
No, I remember the Star Wars arcade game that was like that.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
Wireframe.
The X-Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely game I would love to start a league out of, but I can't find any of the machines that survived. So at least what you do and you love, it exists.
Yeah, well, and also like at the Bat at our arcade, they have, you know, they have stuff from, they have games from like the 60s all the way up to the games that came out like 2 months ago.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and like, I think that it was the last fiscal quarter. I mean, the stat may be wrong, but somewhere around this, but like, I think it was the last fiscal quarter, more pinball machines were sold since like 1992 or something.
Badass. Like,
wow.
It's like really growing and coming back. Yeah.
Taking off.
Yeah. That sounds like fun. Is there money in it?
Eh. I mean, we have prize pools, but you know, pinball's not gambling.
That's true. That's fair. So how long have you been doing stand-up?
About the same time. Yeah. Yeah, and I think the competitive pinball and the stand-up both started right when my divorce happened. So, you know, got some free time, quit being a husband. pinball playing comic, so, you know.
I dig it. I do.
It's the best time to start something.
Yeah, I was sad and bored, so.
Yeah, you know. Why wallow? I did that for a long time this year. Now I do puzzles and ride scooters.
Puzzles and scooters. Yeah. The scooter thing I've been doing for a very long time.
Yeah, I can't believe I let mine sit for like 10 years almost. Mm. Can't even believe it just sat in a garage. I can't believe they didn't make me take it out of the garage and sell it.
There you go. What was it, your folks' place?
No, it was a Ben's, our house. It was my folks, and then when Ben and I moved in, we brought it with us.
Oh, okay.
But it still didn't work, and he just, like, fine.
Why didn't he fix it?
You can't have, like, it takes a certain special people to fix the Vespas, like the older ones.
I just like working
men
on
think
machines.
They can, men, all men think they can fix it.
If it's on YouTube, I can fix it. Mm. I'm just saying. Mm. That's all. I mean, I've been fixing motorcycles since I was 14.
Although Paul did help me fix part of it just through texting me. More than Ben or my brother-in-law or my dad has ever done to that scooter to fix it. It's just Paul texted me what I needed to do.
Nice. Very nice.
It was flooding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it. I do. Okay. Let's do a little news and then wrap this fucker up. America First Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene printed her first book in Canada, probably on Vietnamese paper is my guess, but a new book by the far-right Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, leading supporter of Donald Trump's America First policies and founder of the American First Caucus, which called for, quote, meaningful work for American workers and their families, end quote, printed her book in fucking Canada, which I don't know if you know, even though it really looks like America is not America because they have poutine and we do not.
I fucking love poutine.
I fucking love poutine, too.
And they like hockey.
And they like hockey.
I like hockey. Eh. I do. I like
they
hockey
They like
fights.
Curling.
I love curling.
Oh my God, Jeff.
I'm Canadian.
Jesus fucking Christ. You're Irish.
Oh, Canada. I'm Scottish. Thank you very much.
It's the same thing. Just kidding. Oh, I know fighting. It's not the same thing.
Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
Anyway, can
Great
she even...
suburb of America.
She doesn't even know how to read.
That's a good point. I wonder who wrote it for. Yeah, so Green's Canadian printed book is produced by Winning Team Publishing, a firm co-founded by Donald Trump Jr., which has also put out books by the former president, Trump, and Carrie Lake, that lady who still thinks she's the fucking governor of Arizona.
My, thank you're welcome. Yes, behalf of Arizona, you're welcome.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, so obtaining a copy of the book, The Guardian reported its false claim that no Democrat stayed in the U.S. House chamber on January 6th to defend it from rioters Trump sent to stop certifications of his defeat by Joe Biden. Jason Crow, a Colorado Democrat and former soldier who did defend the chamber, called Green's claim patently false. Okay, putting a pin in this for just a minute. Dear Democrats, call it a fucking lie. That's it. That's it.
I've got a patent on this falseness, though.
Yeah. I don't. Stop being polite. Stop using your big 50-cent words, you fucking idiots. Open your yaps. Let the truth fall out. Because the truth sounds so fucking ridiculous when spoken in plain fucking English. We are trying to swing the minds and attitudes and, frankly, the votes of people with a third grade fucking reading level. We can't have you running around saying shit like patently false. Because they go, I don't know what that means. Why are you talking down to me? Because they're idiots. That's all. Hey, you vote for Trump, you're an idiot. I'm so sorry.
What?
You know, I'm not going to tell you that until after you don't vote for him. And then I'll be like, you used to be an idiot, pal.
I don't think any of us are arguing about that.
I don't understand. What? I don't know if you like Star Trek or not, but basically Republicans will vote for Trump or Nazicans. Really? Is that a niche joke? I'm sorry. We'll move on. According to a document obtained by Punchbowl News, the caucus aims to promote congressional policies that are to the long-term benefit of all the American nation. The document added, the North Star of any policy proposal will be that which serves the American people, and any consequential analysis of policy platforms must be based on this first principle. Therefore, under trade, the document says politicians on both sides of the aisle have outsourced America's manufacturing for decades, offshoring jobs, deflating wages, destroying communities, particularly in rural America. The America First Caucus believes it is time to stop worshiping at the altar of idealized free trade and actually deliver for American workers. Holy shit, what a great idea. Let's print our book in Canada.
I feel like they could have just, they could, it could have been so much shorter.
You think?
Like just saying all that.
Yeah.
Just, that was so tiring.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of tiring,
ah.
Representative George Santos says he expects to be kicked out of Congress.
Can we just stop highlighting him as a person?
Kinda. It's part of it's really entertaining.
Because, like, what else is he like? The next lie?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what's next? So, in a defiant speech Friday, sprinkled with taunts and obscenities aimed at his congressional colleagues, Santos insisted he was, quote, not going anywhere, end quote, but he acknowledged that his time as a member of Congress may soon be coming to an end. Quote, I know I'm going to get expelled when this expulsion resolution goes to the floor. I've done the math over and over, and it doesn't look really good. No shit. When the ethics investigation is bipartisan and the two Republicans on there are like, this dude is garbage. And the Democrats are like, well, we would use stronger words, but, you know, we used up our syllable quota for the other quote. I'm sorry. That one cracked me up. Patently false.
Patently false.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, Santos has survived two expulsion votes. Many of his colleagues who formerly opposed the effort now say that they support it. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago where we were like, you know what? The dude does deserve due process. He was, we think, born in America.
We'll maybe. Never know.
I mean, we might know.
We'll never
point.
Know.
Yeah. But anyway, due process. You get through your due process, you get to the end of due process, they find you guilty because obviously you're fucking guilty, Santos, or whatever the fuck your name is. So yeah, but the report found that Santos used campaign funds for personal purposes, such as luxury retailers and OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
He got himself some pornography.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's not cheap.
Probably not the person he subscribed to.
I'm guessing we looked at different people. Hmm. Me and George.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an OnlyFans account. I was going to do teaching myself to play guitar again.
I was going to make one for just crying because I was crying so much. And I'm just like, might as well make money off of it.
There is enough fucking weirdos in this world that you would have made a mint.
I know. I should still do it. I cry all the time.
You do. I'll come over. I'll pinch.
That's not the kind of crying they want. Like, for $100 extra, I will let you watch my therapy session live.
You know what? I would actually probably spend $100 to listen to you do a session of therapy.
Yep. Yeah. And watch me cry.
Yeah, I'll bet that'd be really informative. It's not going to be entertaining because I'm going to be sad because you're crying.
I'm always crying, though.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You get two hugs on your way out today.
I like crying.
Okay. It's good for your eyes?
Yeah, my eyes are beautiful, so probably. You
know they really are. They absolutely are. Representative Santos sought to fraudulently exploit every aspect of his House candidacy for his own personal financial profit. They noted he did not cooperate with the report and finally evaded straightforward requests for information. Not surprised.
Wow.
And then to finish up, as we talk about our yearly celebration of the beginning of cultural and physical genocide, Thanksgiving, Jason Chaffetz, Utah's own. He played football, he says, but he was a kicker. And I think he was a second string kicker, too.
Oh.
So he basically got to suit up and sit.
Yeah.
You know? But you're a kicker, and his eyes look like prolapsed anuses. That's just, I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Basically, you've got two direct links to Goatsy right there on the front of his face. If you know what I'm talking about, I'm so sorry. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't look it up, because then you'll know what I'm talking about, and I'll have to apologize again. Mm. Goat.se. Anyway,
Why would you tell us? Now I want to go look it up.
Well, and if that makes you feel icky, go over to lemonparty.com.
No, I know what that one is.
Goatsy is worse. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Please, you're going to do it, aren't you?
I don't know.
Oh, please don't do it. You wouldn't want to do it. Anyway, so he popped up on the thing the other day and started complaining about how turkeys are $90 in Joe Biden's America. Now, I got my turkey for free from a buddy who bought too many because he bought too many because they weren't $90. They weren't. What Jason Chaffetz did was basically go and buy a turkey that had spent its life at a fucking sandals resort being massaged and fed aperitifs. As opposed to the turkey I got, which I'm pretty sure was from Compton. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just a rough place for a turkey to come up, is what I'm saying.
Turkey's
there's
hard.
There's a joke formulating in my head that I am not going to record. Anyway, he goes on to the Fox News and he's just like, oh, there's nothing. Yeah, and then he shares a picture of his turkey, and it's a little 14-pound turkey. And it was $111, and it was like 9 different kinds of organic. It was fed with grain from a Star Trek episode. It was the stuff the Tribbles ate. It was. I mean, just everything about this turkey is like something I would look at a turkey and go, "Oh, I can't afford that. I'm not a TV personality with prolapsed anus eyes." See,
is that what Goatsy is?
Yeah.
Ah, I'm so glad I didn't look. I almost did. I typed it up.
I'm so glad you didn't either.
I didn't do it.
And anybody who does it, I've already said don't do it. But anyway, what we wanted you to know is that turkeys did not cost $90 unless you wanted it to. You know, they've got it right here. Butterball turkey, $26.46, $30.24, $15.92, $17.64, $29.77. My favorite is the 30-day return guarantee on these turkeys. Nope.
Joe Biden should be doing something about this. This is very expensive turkeys.
Yep.
He is the person that controls turkeys.
So, well, he pardons them and made a joke about it.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He made a joke about how he pardoned the turkey, but he didn't pardon
Trump.
The predecessor.
The other turkey.
Yeah. So Wonkette, which is where I got this particular article, has a really nice finish up. There are two options here. Number one, Jason Chaffetz is just a pig fuck liar. Don't overthink it.
They should have said that about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
They should have.
Go on.
Absolutely. Number two, Jason Chaffetz bought his turkey from some kind of luxury boutique turkey delivery service, which is fine. Those are nice. Where they come pre-smoked or something. And that dildo-brained bastard thinks that the bougie turkey on demand service he uses is how average Americans do it. No, I would not have had a turkey had a friend of mine who's a chef somewhere not had too many. I would not. I wouldn't. I would have bought a nice little ham and eaten that instead.
I don't like turkey.
No, it's a trash bird. It's like the goldfish of the plains.
I have to disagree on that one.
Because you like goldfish?
Oh, and you didn't eat any turkey.
No, actually, I did not have my Thanksgiving was going to watch the Napoleon movie with my son.
Right.
And then drinking too much whiskey around a campfire and passing out. That was my Thanksgiving. But I had a Friendsgiving last night and I smoked a turkey and it was delicious.
Oh, good.
So.
OK, good. I'm glad you got some.
Yeah. So I disagree on the whole turkey front.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Just can't figure it out.
Well, this was divine. This was so good.
Mine was, when it was done, was perfectly cooked, was juicy as shit, really nailed it, and it still tasted like turkey. Last year, I made a pair of chickens. Everybody gave me shit about it, but at least the meat tasted good. You know? Now, if I were going to smoke it, or my, honestly, deep fried when they put them in there and you don't blow yourself up, that is pretty much the two ways I will eat a turkey and be happy about it, unless it's on a sandwich. I'll eat a turkey sandwich. Anyway, guys, that is the end of the show. What I'd like to do now is invite you to join us over at Patreon, at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N, media. This is me assuming everybody can spell media, is what it is. That's what I've done. But you know what? You're listening to this show. You know how to read and write. We're fine. Defend Media. Right? Patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week that we record a little extra and we put it over there for those behind a paywall. Very small buy-in. It pretty much basically pay what you want. We hope you pay more, but we'll do what we can. Next year sees a doubling in our hosting and
bandwidth
fees. Sorry.
Nice. I knew it.
Yeah. And so we're really looking for help here at the end of the year. I did send out the newsletter with an ask. If you guys could find that in your junk folder and maybe help out there, that'd be great. Otherwise, go over to theleftshow.com. All on the right side as you scroll down is one way after another to give. Really, we're deserving.
Mm.
Listen to how fun this show was.
Paul, do you have anything to promote? Where are you going to be at these next little while?
I don't have any shows coming up real soon, but if you want to go see some of my jokes, P. Michael Comedy on Instagram and on Facebook. I have a Twitter, but like since it became X, I have not logged into that in forever. So, and then I got locked out of my TikTok. So,
darn it.
Instagram and Facebook, P. Michael Comedy.
That's man.
Yeah. I'm looking you up right now.
This
P.
is
Michael
great.
Comedy. There we go. All right. I'll be following you momentarily.
Sweet.
Outstanding. Hey, folks. Thanks for listening. Remember, rate and review. Smash that subscribe button. Don't take wooden nickels. Don't play leapfrog with a unicorn. Do me a favor and let's do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.